Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, The Epistle to the Hebrews. The Bible says that God loves us and sent Jesus to be the payment for our sins. But the Bible also says that God hates certain people and has nothing but destruction for them and their descendants. Esau was one such man that God hated even before he was born. Jacob was not innocent either, and had no qualms about sinning as long as he could get away with it. And the Bible shows us the seriousness of making poor decisions and the consequences that follow. Jacob and Esau were sinful men, so why did God change Jacob, but despise Esau's pleadings to be forgiven? We would do well to learn from their lives in this message. It is entitled, Hated by God. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on January 13th, 2013. And I'm glad that you are here today, and I'm glad those of you that are watching us, that you could also be with us. Let's stand and let's pray one more time here. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for the privilege of having a pulpit. Thank you, Father God, we have a place to worship. We have a place, Father God, where we can proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to thank and I want to praise you right now for opening up the scripture for us today. And help me, Lord, to present it in such a way that your Holy Spirit will speak through me. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In Hebrews 11:21, we read this. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. We have one verse here about Jacob in the book of Hebrews, the hall of faith. And when we look upon Jacob, we also got to look upon Esau. And the message I have today is a strong message, and many people might not understand it, but God is love, but God is also judgment. Now, if you have a job, I remember when I got a job as a civil engineering a number of years ago, and when I got there, I realized this: if I do want to advance, I need to learn how this place operates. So I studied it very carefully. I studied the people in charge, the supervisors, the engineers, and so on, how they spoke, how they thought, and how they acted. I learned the rules and regulations. And once I learned that, I simply moved within the system, and in about 4 years, I was able to double my salary and have a rapid promotions every year. Now, God wants to bless us. God wants to work with us. But we need to know how God thinks. We need to know how God works so that we can work with God, not work against God. And today we're going to look upon something that most of us really don't like to think about. And that is this, that God can hate people. We heard for years, God loves you, God is love, and that's true. But when you turn God off, so to say, he not only gets angry, but there is hate. Let's examine that today. We're going to go slow today. Let's examine this, and then when you get home, you study this out. And let me read this here to you for my outline. Being hated by God is the most terrible fate that can befall a human being. Even worse, the Bible tells us that God hated Esau before he was born. Believers in Christ need to understand that God is omniscient, with the capacity to see the past, the present, and the future at the same time. He's not bound by time like humans. Therefore, God knew before the foundation of the world the choices that Esau would make during his lifetime on earth. Now, let's digest that a little bit. I've been fantasizing about traveling time. And it'd be nice to travel back in time to see some people. It'd be nice to travel forward in time to find out what's going to happen. Well, that is not given to us. We cannot do that. God will not allow that. But here's God. If this here, that wall, is the beginning of the creation, that wall is the end of the world of the creation. And we are here sometimes in between these walls. You and I can see moment by moment, right now is what you and I have. I remember what happened yesterday or the day before, but I cannot look into the future. God simply sees it like this. Right now, God sees himself starting the creation. He sees Lucifer, the fall. He sees Adam and Eve. He sees all these other things happening. And he sees what's happening now. And he sees exactly what's going to happen in the future. It's all laid out for him in a panorama. He knew that before he started the creation. If we take a look on Esau now, God did not make Esau a bad person. Esau made choices. And when God looked down in a time, in a corridor of time, and he saw Esau being conceived, born, and then he saw the choices Esau would make in his lifetime, he hated him. Because Esau made only bad, bad, bad choices. Esau did not have to do that. That was his choice. What about you and me here today now? Maybe you have made some bad choices. I made bad choices when I was younger. And it was not good. But we know we can work with God. And we can simply say, I recognize my sin, I recognize my mistakes, I repent of them, I don't want to make any more of this, and I want to make good choices tomorrow. We can work ourselves out. We're going to look upon Esau here now. We're going to begin in Malachi chapter 1. That's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi, and we're going to look at the very first chapter. I'm going to read the first few verses here. So we have Malachi chapter 1. The burden of the word of Lord to Israel by Malachi. He had a burden. He had a concern. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, weariness that you loved us. Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob. And I hated Esau and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Very few preachers will preach on these verses because, you know, it doesn't bring in a lot of money. And people are not comfortable with that. But this is what the Word of God said. I didn't write it this morning. This was written 2,400 years ago. God hated Esau. Now turn to Romans chapter 9. And we get the Apostle Paul now explaining further to us how this worked. That's in Romans 9, verse number 11. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. I want you to see this now. For the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. Here we have now two babies conceived, twins. And God is simply saying this, that before they have done either good or bad, God had made a selection. And the selection was made upon the choices that these two babies would make as men down the road. Here's what I want to tell you right now. I want to understand that. If God hated you, you would not be in the service. If God hated you, you would not be watching as right now. Anyone that is watching, that is here, God has called to be saved. God has called to be sanctified. God has called you. Those that have made choices, let me just pick on someone. Let's talk about Adolf Hitler, the German leader of the Nazi regime. He was born a baby. He had the same chance like anyone else on this planet. But he made choices. So from the very, very beginning, God hated that baby in the womb. Did Jesus die for the sins of Adolf Hitler? The answer is yes. He died for the sins of Joseph Stalin. And you can go down a list of all infamous people. He died for them all. When he died on the cross, he paid for all sins. Nothing was left open. But it's up to each individual to make a choice if you're going to accept that or not accept it. So rejoice now. You that are watching me, you that are here, that you have been selected. God saw before you were conceived the decisions that you would make later in life. And he simply said, I will be there, I will save you, I will work with you. And then we read this here in verse number 12. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Do you have a compassion on people that are lost? When you go to a service station or you go to a store or you go to work, whatever it is, and you look upon these people that are there hurrying around doing things, have you ever thought about, is this person loved by God or hated by God? Have you ever thought about that maybe I should pray for these people? Pray for their salvation. Pray that God would save them. You see, it is important that we have compassion because someone witnessed to you. Someone helped you to get saved. Have you helped somebody else to get saved in your turn? Verse 14. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that wills nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. Having learned this information now, it is obvious that if you are a smart cookie, you would simply say this, I want to line up with God's word. I want to make choices that are according to God's will. I want to be blessed. We have that choice. That's the good news. And if we take that, we will do well. Esau willfully sinned when he sold his birthright for a dinner, not realizing that he was rejecting God in doing so. Turn to Genesis chapter 25. That is Genesis the 25th chapter. And you pick it up here from verse number 29. And Jacob sowed pottage. He was a farmer. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray you, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom, or red. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. What was a birthright? He was the oldest son. He would inherit his father's possessions. And he would also inherit his father's blessing. And Esau said, behold, I am at a point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now I want to ask you that are here today and those that are watching, how careless have you been with God's blessings in your life? Have you ever thought about this when you were younger? Maybe you're watching right now, you're not saved. And you had a desire to go out and get drunk. And you never thought about that for a few glasses of booze or whatever it was, or drugs, you are willing to trade God's blessing in your life. Or maybe as a woman or as a man, you've been in a job or some place, you're married, and you see this woman or man, and you begin to lust after them. And then you're simply saying this, well, I just got to have that person. And you sacrifice your family, your job, your reputation. You lay everything on line. You become very stupid. For a little while of pleasure. And when it's over, you said, oh my God, what did I do? This is to despise the blessings of God that he has for you. Well, let's say now income taxes are coming up. And you have to file income taxes. And you feel the government is stealing money from you. You know, you don't want to pay that much taxes. And you're looking upon to work under the table, whatever it is. And it might be you want to save $1,000 or $2,000. Let's say you can save $2,000. And you simply say, my soul is worth $2,000. And you put down on the form, you send it in, you sign it, and you lied. And you simply said this, I praise God. You didn't say praise God, but you said, thank you, I got 2,000 bucks in my pocket. But you stole them. It cost you your integrity. They might never find out. But the devil saw it. God saw it. And someday you will pay when you stand in front of the judgment. How much is your soul worth? I've seen people in a store, maybe pick up $10, somebody dropped $10. They pick it up and just hold it like this and walk out. They stole it. They sold their soul for $10. I want to really draw your attention to this morning how important it is that you value your integrity and your inheritance from Almighty God. In Genesis chapter 26, verse number 34, we read this. Genesis 26, 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took the wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. Now, Esau again knew what God had told Abraham and Isaac. You're not to marry women outside the faith. Don't marry these heathen women. Esau said, well, big deal. I like the shape of that woman. I like the way she looks. I want to have these two chicks. I want to marry them. He despised his birthright. He despised God's blessings. And he said, it's my way. And he paid for it. God knew before Esau was conceived that those were the choices he would make. That's why he hated them. God has seen your life, and he saw the choices that you made in the future. And he said, I love you. I will work with you. I will save you. Now turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. And I'm going to read from verse number 26. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. But a certain fearful looking for our judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy in the two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy who has trodden foot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and is done despite under the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, I will recompense, says the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. My wife and I, we met a young man by the name of Ray about 40 years ago. And Ray was raised in a non-Christian family. And when he was about maybe 13 or 14 years old, he was at some kind of a meeting, youth meeting, whatever. He got saved. He even got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he got so excited that he was able to lead his father, mother, and brother to Christ. And Ray was a bright young man, very brilliant, intelligent. And then he was molested one day, and he was not protected by his family. They had brought someone into the household, and he was molested in the bathroom where they had a party there. And the spirit of homosexuality jumped into him. And suddenly now, this young man was struggling. He loved the Lord with all his heart. But suddenly now, he had homosexual spirit that was tugging on him. He had to make choices. And he struggled a long time. He didn't tell his mom and dad, I'm struggling. And then he made a choice. He made a choice to simply give his body over. And he started going to the bathhouses because the older man took advantage of this young boy, and he got AIDS. At the same time now, because of the tremendous conflict in him, he loved God, but he had his homosexual demons. He began to drink heavily, and he became an alcoholic. Most homosexuals are alcoholics, or drug addicts, most of them, because they cannot handle the shame and the pain, even if they don't want to say so. God gave Ray 50 years on this earth. He was never able to hold a job. He was never able to finish college. He was in and out of rehabs. Teen Challenge, I took him there. Number of other rehabs. And he got rid of the alcohol, came out, tried to go straight, made the wrong choice, drank again, lived downtown Sacramento, miserable life, and he died at the age of 50. I'm sharing this story with you. Ray willfully sinned upon his body. He continued to do that. As far as his salvation goes, I was part of his funeral. And there's no doubt in my mind that before he died, he had repented and asked God for forgiveness. But what I want to get across to you is this. The AIDS, the disease, was never removed from him. He sinned willfully. He picked that up. He paid for that. And he died without having been able to reach the potential that God had for him. It is so important, and I'm trying to speak slow and distinctly here this morning, that you recognize that there are consequences when we sin. Yes, we can be forgiven. But the consequences will be there. Esau tried to repent. Hebrews chapter 12. And you pick it up in verse number 14. Hebrews 12, 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. If you get bitter, it's a root of bitterness, and you are defiling yourself. Lest there be any fornicated or profane person, Esau, who for one morsel of meat or one dinner sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. There are two types of repentance. Esau's repentance was not from the heart. Esau wanted to repent to regain the birthright. He wanted his father's cattle, his goods, his gold. That's why he repented. Repentance, you're not repenting to gain something back. You're repenting and simply saying, God, I am sorry. I have sinned. I'm not looking to have a lot of stuff restored unto me. I'm not interested in that. I take what you give me, but I repent. A lot of people repent when they are caught. They repent in order to get out of something. I believe that this man, Armstrong, the bicyclist, they're talking about now for 3-4 days he's going to repent Monday on Oprah's TV show. The man is guilty of sin. He was caught chemically, laboratory-wise. Slam dunk thing. He was stripped of everything. He recognized now he's nothing. The question is he repenting on public television, hoping that the public will forgive him so he can have his commercials again and make some money? Or is he going to repent because he really is sorry for his sins? Not only did Esau curse himself, he curses family. Turn back to Malachi chapter 1. It's Malachi, the first chapter. And this is very, very serious. In verse number 4, whereas Edom, now Edom, those are the people, the Edomites, they're descendants of Esau. Whereas Edom says, we are impoverished, we will return and build the desolate places. This is the Lord of hosts. They shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them to border wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord has indignation forever. Do you realize that the Edomites are part of the Palestinian people? Living around that area. And the Edomites have been cursed for about 4,000 years. You think about that. That's a long time. God simply said this. I hated Esau. And I hate his descendants. And for 4,000 years, these people have been hated by God and simply have not had any chance, so to say, except through Christ. Now, the good news is, if a Palestinian, an Edomite, comes to Christ, he's forgiven, washed in the blood, restored in full blessing. But you have to come through Christ. Now, we looked upon Esau, but we've got to remember now that Jacob was no angel. The name Jacob in Hebrew means supplanter, which is a person who, through deception, tries to gain something that does not belong to him. And Isaac and Rebekah gave him his name because of what took place at his birth. In today's language, we would call him a swindler or simply a thief. Turn to Genesis chapter 25. We'll look at these verses one more time. Genesis chapter 25. We find this out. We read it from verse 24. Let me get there. Genesis 25 and 24. And when the days be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were two twins in the womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, his hand took hold of Esau's heel. His name was called Jacob, and Isaac was 80 years old when he should bear them. He simply was called swindler because he stuck his hand out and he tried to be first. If you turn out to verse number 29, we read this. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray you, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore his name was called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day your birthright. If you were a brother, and suddenly there was a ring on your doorbell, and somebody come to your house, here's your brother or sister outside saying, you know, I'm broke. I don't have any money. I need some food. Would you say this? Good. Okay. Do you have your pink slip with you? Sign that over, and I'll give you a meal. That was the attitude of Jacob. He was a low bowler. He was simply a charlatan. He was not a good man at this time. He exploited Esau's weakness. When Rebekah asked him to lie and steal the blessing from his father, Jacob did not tell her that this was a sin and was more concerned about getting caught. Genesis chapter 27. And you pick it up in verse number 11. And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I am a smooth man. My father prevents you will fail me, and I shall be seeing him as a deceiver. I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said to him, upon me be your curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. Jacob was no better than Esau here. Jacob could have simply said to his mom, Mom, this is wrong. I don't want to lie. I don't want to steal. But instead he said this, hey, Mom, I don't want to get caught. I don't mind lying. I don't mind stealing. I just don't want to get caught. He was a bad man. There was a conversion. Jacob made a decision. Turn to John chapter 6 first. No man can come to the Father unless the Father draws him. In the Gospel of John, if you read for the 6th chapter, that's John 6. If you pick it up in verse number 44, and it says this, no man can come to me except my Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last days. Verse 65. And Jesus said, therefore, said to you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him unto him of my Father. Do you realize that the reason that you are here today, the reason you are watching me is that God has drawn you. He has simply opened up your heart and draw you to himself. Why? Because somebody has prayed for you. It might be a grandparent. It might be 500 years ago, somebody prayed for his descendants. Maybe your dad or mom prayed for you. But somebody prayed for you. And God simply said, I will draw that person. He knew in advance the decision you would make. Let's go back now to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28. What did God have to do with Jacob to get him lined up? He had to strip him of everything. You got to recognize now when Jacob left Isaac and Rebekah, he did not have any animals with him. He walked. He had no gold or silver with him. He walked. He had no servant with him. Isaac recognized this man has sinned. And he simply sent him away empty-handed. Maybe some food, and said, you go to my relatives over in Haran. And that's what will happen with us when we sin. God will strip us down till we have nothing. Absolutely nothing. And then God says, I want to have a talk with you. Genesis chapter 28, verse number 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran. When he went there, he knew nothing about his future. He realized this. My brother hates me. When mom and dad are gone, he's going to kill me. Mom and dad sent me away. They didn't want me. I got nothing. And he shuffled on to Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night. Because his son was set that he took out the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. And lay down that place to sleep. Have you ever slept on a stone? And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. At the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereupon you lie, to you will I give it, and to your seed. And your seed shall be as the dust of the earth. You shall spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, and to the south. And in you and in your seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Jesus was going to come through his bloodline. And behold, I am with you, and will keep you in all places where you go, and will bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place. This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, set it for a pillar, and poured oil upon top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in his ways that I go, have they given bread to eat and raiment on? So I come again to my father's house in peace. Then shall the Lord be my God. Right there, There was a repentance, was a change of heart. And Jacob simply said, I will change. I don't want to continue like this. God is not going to be my God. I'm going to walk and follow him. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that you should give me, I will surely give the tenth unto you. He said, now, God, I know that you want my tithe. And I will tithe 10% to you from here on out. Jacob had a change of heart. You and I are sinful creatures. Every day we sin. We have a sinful nature. But we have a choice. We can simply let the sinful nature run loose. Or we can rein it in and say, no. In the name of Jesus, I will not go that road. Next week, we're going to look upon Jacob's life. How it developed. He had a lot of grief coming. A lot of sorrows. But there's one thing between Jacob. And what do you hear this now? Esau today is burning in hell. Esau has nothing to look forward to except the great white throne judgment. We will come out temporarily. And at that point, he will be sent to the lake of fire. And eternity in the lake of fire. Never to die, always to be tormented. Jacob today is in heaven. He was in paradise first, now he's in heaven. He's in heaven now praising God, worshiping him. Waiting for his time. At the judgment seat of Christ, when Jacob will receive a new name, in Revelation it says all of us will receive a new name, praise God for that, and he'll be given his eternal rewards. Two boys, two men, two choices. And I want to ask you today, what choice have you made? Have you accepted Christ? That's the most important thing. Have you been born again? Then you're on the right track. If you have been born again, and you have messed up, made mistakes, here's the good news. The blood of Jesus will cover you. All you have to do is to simply say, my Heavenly Father, I am sorry for what I did, and you'll be forgiven. Consequences might be removed, or they might not be removed. If you have a venereal disease, you might have to carry it the rest of your life out. If there is something else, it might be that you got to carry it the rest of your life. But you can be forgiven, and you can make new choices from this day. Good choices, putting good seed into the ground, getting a good crop in years to come. That's the good news. I want you to go home and think about Esau and Jacob, two brothers, two twins, starting for the same set of parents, but going two different ways, and forever are now separated and will never again meet. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, praise you right now, that we could look upon Esau and Jacob. Father God, I feel sorry for Esau, Father God, that made such rotten choices. But that's what he wanted. And he got what he wanted. And Father God, I pray right now for those that are watching, those that are here, Lord. If there's anyone that is not born again, that person today would simply say, I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. I want to be born again. Help them, Father. And those that have backslidden, those that maybe want to better their lives, help them to make a decision today, Lord, to repent, to be rewashed again and again in the blood of Jesus, and to have a great life in front of them. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. The altars are open here. The elders are here. And if you are here today and you simply says this, I want to be prayed for. I want to be anointed with oil. I want to make a decision. You come on up and tell them they will not talk to anyone. They will pray with you, anointed with oil. And that's it. If you're watching me, and you says, well, I've been watching now for some time, I'm not saved. Today is a day for you to simply say, God, forgive my sins. Jesus, come into my life, be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. And I want you to save me, and he will. If you want help, call us, write us. And we will help you. If you need to repent, whatever it is, there's a phone number coming up on the screen in a little while. You can call that number. It's good today. Some will pray with you and minister to you. But most of all, have a talk with Jesus. In Jesus' name, you come.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past. And there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says, "Today is the day of salvation." Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 22nd part in the series, The Epistle to the Hebrews, and was entitled, Hated by God. With all the talk in churches today about God's love, it is shocking to learn that God hates certain individuals and has nothing but destruction for them and their descendants. Esau was one such man. He despised his birthright when he sold it to Jacob, and he rebelliously married heathen women. He tried to repent, but had the wrong motive for doing so. Jacob was no angel, and sinned as long as he could get away with it. But God changed his life and made him fit to become the third patriarch of the people of Israel. So why was Esau cursed, but Jacob was blessed? The Bible shows us the seriousness of making poor decisions and the consequences that follow. More importantly, God knows the heart of man, and knew that Jacob would repent, but Esau would not. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1377. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, May God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.